Yo, 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 yo. What's going on? It's Greg Lunt. It is Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. And for the second week in a row, I am doing this from my bed in Connecticut. I'm laying in bed. I just woke up. It's noon. I got up, I woke up like maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. Again, I'm like kind of staying on West Coast time, so I'm going to bed every night at like 2, 3, 5 a.m. and waking up at like noon pretty much every day. I don't know why I'm doing that. I could just as easily get accustomed to this time and then go home and get accustomed to that time in LA, but for some reason I'm enjoying staying up really late and waking up really late. But I had another nightmare last night. It was gory too. It was, I was an assistant coach and like backup quarterback for some football team. And my coach was Hugh Jackson, who's the coach for the Cleveland Browns right now. And then one of the players on the team like didn't play a lot or something, and his dad like came to me and was talking to me. So I went to Hugh Jackson and I was like, I started talking about like, why is this guy not playing more or something? And then he kind of just looked at me like I was fucking retarded. And slowly but surely, like everyone on the team, I don't remember what happened, but it ended up like pretty bloody. Like they all just started killing everybody. And I don't have dreams like that, dude. But there's something about, I'm not sure what it is. Just, you know, shit's coming up. But I have been recording all my dreams. I haven't missed a night really. And I'm remembering them more vividly the more I practice remembering them. So I still do the thing. I'm picking up my phone as soon as I wake up and I'm kind of just talking to Siri and recording my entire dream without having to open my eyes. So I'm like, I just kind of run through everything I remember. And then once I get it all there, I'll open my eyes and kind of edit it so that it makes sense. Cause when I'm just blabbing it out and, you know, it's either a little bit incoherent or she misses a few words or whatever. So I make sure that I get it all right. And I have like the last like 7, 8, 9 days of dreams. And I'm actually starting to see some themes, which is interesting. The two of like the last 3 nights has been something similar to like people aren't taking me seriously. And then there was like a couple other things I'm noticing in them, but it has been interesting. I like it. I did lucid dream for like a second a few nights ago. I tried. I haven't really been trying to, honestly, but I did one night kind of get into a dream and then I looked at my hand and I had 6 fingers and I was like, oh shit, I'm dreaming. And I know I'm dreaming. I was like, I'm straight up lucid dreaming right now. And I was like, what should I do? And then like, I was like, let me like create something. And I like started, and I just started thinking hard about something and it created it. And then I got really excited and I woke up. So apparently that happens. When you first start lucid dreaming, you get really excited about it and you wake up. So I woke up and I was like, fuck. I was like, I had it though. So that's a possibility. Other things I've been kind of thinking a lot about. There, a lot of similar shit. This earthquake shit. Another 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit Mexico City yesterday. And the guy that I'm watching has been issuing warnings for Mexico for a slightly lower magnitude than the 8.1 that hit Mexico 10 days ago, or I guess now it's like 12 days ago. And he's been issuing a watch there for a while, and there it is. It came back, and he's looking at the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of pressure building up from all sides, from like Japan, and that pressure's getting pushed east, and then from the Alaska, what's up there? Alaska, Canada area getting pushed south, and then the Mexico stuff getting pushed north up the coast. So that Pacific Northwest is bubbling, and then if that hits, then LA is on watch. So it's just, people want to write it off as, he's just a YouTuber or something like that, but the thing is that this guy's been doing it for 7 years, and now the USGS, who is the United States official geology earthquake reporting government program, removed from their website their text and copy about how earthquakes cannot be forecasted and so forth. They removed that. That's been there forever. They removed it 2 days ago. And not only did they remove it, they then put up their own forecast. So this guy who's been getting called a quack for 7 years for forecasting shit that cannot be forecasted is now slowly becoming validated. If not his name, at least what he's doing. And he was talking about it and he was like, "Yeah, man, I like broke down and cried because it's just such a big deal for science and for validating what I've, been putting my heart and soul into." It validates me in a teeny, teeny bit, like just because the people that I've told have all kind of called me crazy. And now it's like, look, people only feel comfortable when it's something that the mass media is talking about. Otherwise, you're a conspiracy theorist or you're this or you're that. It's easy to label and just write somebody off if you're something you don't want to think about. It's something I'm paying attention to because earthquake activity is spiking right now, and there's stuff going on all over the world, and they're all related. You think that if a tectonic plate moves, significantly on one edge, nothing's going to happen on the other edge. Where do you think all that pressure and reverberation's going? So he's kind of mapped out where the direction of the pressure flows, and you can, it loses magnitude a little bit depending on how far it's going and how long, but there's silent zones that if you get quiet for too long, something's coming in between two other points that have gotten hit. There's a lot of stuff that he talks about. It's just logic. When you see it then play out, you're like, "Oh shit." Because I've been watching him now every day for like 2 weeks, and it's just like shit he says keeps happening. So why wouldn't I pay attention to that? When, especially when I live in the fucking most intense earthquake area in the United States, why would I ignore that when I have family there, when I have friends there? Why would I wait for the slow science to catch up? And some people are saying, "Why you, I don't want you to get consumed by this. You're so negative." I'm like, it's not me being negative. It's me being realistic and safe. And to be honest with you, it makes me feel safer to watch this stuff and to have an idea of what the fuck's going on rather than everybody else who's walking around blind and just being like, "Well, I hope an earthquake doesn't hit," and not being prepared and not being ready mentally and understanding what's going on. I want to know if he's issuing warnings for my area and what his logic is for it. I definitely am getting defensive about it just because I've had multiple people in my family be like, "I'm concerned about you." And by the way, that's such a fucking bullshit argument. You are concerned about me because I'm looking at technology and logic and trying to be safe. It's a weird defense mechanism that people use to justify the fact that they don't want to go into a place in their mind that scares them. And then they'll pin it off on me. So it's like, for instance, if I bring up the moon landing or JFK's assassination or 9/11 or anything that has some questions, I just have a bunch of friends who shut down. They not only do they not do any research themselves about it, they don't want to talk about it. And then they point at me and call me a conspiracy theorist. So it's like we have a government who has this ridiculous track record of lying and of mistreating and of selfishness and greed. And then things happen based around those things. And then there are obvious questions that need to be asked based on what's being reported by them. But people don't want to because that puts them in a weird mental state of, well, if they're lying about this, then who knows what they're lying about? And, everything I think could be wrong. And that's scary for some people to think about, for most people to think about. And so their defense is to shut down and to either just point the finger and be like, you're a conspiracy theorist, shut up. Or, I'm really concerned about you, Greg. I'm really concerned that your head goes to these places and trying to like be all high and mighty and fucking like, I'm really well put together. But you know, asking questions of the government killing people. I mean, Greg, the government making money off of innocent people. I mean, Greg, I'm concerned about you. I don't like this negative headspace that you're in. And I'm doing this from a place of love. I love you, Greg. And I just don't want you thinking this way. I don't want you thinking that what you see on TV may not be true, because what they tell you is true, Greg. No, but that's funny. They actually play both sides. They'll be like, it's not that I think that, I mean, I know the government lies. I believe in conspiracies and I believe in corruption. But important thing, I mean, but the big things? No. They wouldn't lie about the important things. There's only like smaller things. Like, I can't actually name any right now, but you know how many people would be talking? That's the one you get a lot. You know how many people would be talking? You know how many people you have to keep quiet in order to keep that secret? So there's no way that that could be true, because people would be talking about it. But to expose government shit when you're involved in the government, you're throwing away your entire life. You're throwing away the potential safety of you. I mean, they'll just shoot you in the fucking head. What do you think happened to Edward Snowden? That type of courageousness doesn't happen on a daily basis. He knew when he did that, he was sacrificing his entire life. It would never be the same, and he would go into hiding forever because he would be killed or he would be thrown in jail or whatever. They would trash his name and trash his reputation, and everything was going to be different. But he did it for the good of the people, and that doesn't happen often. It happened again the other day, where I've been reading and researching a ton about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and the blockchain. I've been thinking about it for years. You hear about it for a while now. It's been going for about 8 years. But now it's kind of hitting this point of, wow, this is actually really happening. All of the smart people, like every single math wizard and high-end developer, is diving headfirst into crypto right now. And anyway, so it's caught my attention massively. And I've been just like binge researching it for the past week. And I decided that I was going to move a bunch of money from my retirement fund, which is sitting in like a slow growing mutual fund, into this high octane juggernaut that has no chance of being stopped, in my opinion, which is cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. And so once I decided I was going to do that, I reached out to someone who started being, I'm concerned about you, Greg. You're getting latched onto all these things so fast, and you're making such rash decisions. Just another example of people slow to change, and that's fine. But for anyone listening to this that's interested, this is going to transform the entire world. Every industry is going to get disrupted. This is the internet 2.0. Think about how the internet disrupted every single industry, right? Every single one. And we didn't know how the internet was going to be used when it's the early, mid, late 90s and internet adoption starting to get up. You know, you have Windows 95 and Windows 98. People are starting to use computers a little more. And then they're introducing the internet. People aren't willing to buy things on the internet yet. Google and Amazon are just starting. And it's more of like a wait and see approach, right? They didn't want to you can't put your credit card on the internet. And now, of course, that is commonplace. This is only less than 20 years ago. And now, you know, crypto was started in 2009. And now we're in 2017. And shit's really starting to get rolling a little bit. You know, Bitcoin was worth 5 cents a Bitcoin. And then it was worth $5 a Bitcoin. Then it was worth $60 a Bitcoin, and now it's worth $4,000 per Bitcoin. And it's not stopping. It's not stopping anytime soon. It went from $600 to $5,000 in like 3 weeks in August. This August, it just happened. And then it had a little bit of a pullback, and we're sitting in that pullback right now. But it's gonna launch up again. It's not gonna stop. People are calling for 25,000. Some people are calling for 500,000 over the next couple of years per Bitcoin. I mean, it's insane. And when you look at into the technology and what its use cases are, it's going to change every single industry. First and foremost, it's going to change the economy, right? It's going to change banks. It's going to change the financial sector. It's going to flip it on its head. Because why would you have a centralized bank made up of humans with slower transfer times, difficulty converting currencies across the world, high transaction fees, and humans regulating it? Why would you have all those things when you could just build a computer program that automatically handles all of that stuff? You don't need to wait. Transfer times are instantaneous. Fees are minimal, if not nothing at all. And it's completely decentralized. You don't have to have a human intermediary between two parties trying to transfer money. The financial sector is going to be flipped upside down, and they know it because banks like JP Morgan are already all in on this technology. And it's funny because their CEO or whoever, Jamie Dimon, comes out and he goes, "Bitcoin's a fraud," right? Why would you say that out loud when you invest in Bitcoin for your business and for your clients? He's been investing in Bitcoin forever. But there were rumors that banks were going to come out and start talking some shit about Bitcoin to drive the price down. I bring that up. "Greg, you're such a conspiracy," whatever. But that happened, and the prices came down. Now, there's a difference between cryptocurrency and the blockchain and Bitcoin. There's a lot of overlaps, but they're not all the same. So the blockchain itself is the idea of decentralization. And then on the platform that is the blockchain, you can have different cryptocurrencies, which are different digital currencies, different digital monies, one of which is Bitcoin. So it's kind of like this stacked, like this go down the list, right? Where blockchain is the foundation, cryptocurrency is a type of use of the blockchain, and then Bitcoin is a type of cryptocurrency. So there are other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, Litecoin, NEO. These are all catching some backwind and getting pushed along with all this whole movement because they fill different needs than Bitcoin does. So while you will hear the word Bitcoin synonymous with the blockchain and with crypto and with this whole movement, Bitcoin is only one type of use. It's really fascinating what's happening, and it's still early. It's going to take another 5 to 10 years before this is mass adopted, and we're at the stage of where the internet is now, right? So in 2000, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter, in 2004, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter, we didn't have Snapchat, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have LinkedIn, we didn't have any of these things. And now they're the foundation of our entire planet. We didn't have smartphones, okay? And now it's literally the remote control to every single individual's life. We didn't have this stuff 10 years ago, man. When you have people like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Mark Cuban, I mean, the list goes on. Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, when you have every single one of them talking about the blockchain and how it's real and they're investing in it. And then you have all of the smartest developers and all of the math geniuses, all of the highest level of the highest level are all buying in. The government's even buying in. The banks are buying in. Why aren't you buying in? Because you don't get it. But you know why you don't get it? Because you didn't fucking research it. It's just easier to just be like, "You know what? I'll just wait and see. Let it prove itself out and then I'll get into it." Well, you know what? You just threw away potentially tens, if not hundreds, if not millions of dollars by not taking a bit of a risk. I challenge you, do 5 hours of research on this. It's not gonna be a choice. One day, Visa is just gonna say, "We work through Ethereum now. and we're transferring all of da 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 into Ethereum. And it's going to be slow. They're going to work. This is how all technology shifts work. There's going to be some overlap where there's going to be both, and it's kind of a transition, and then it's going to move all the way over into the new system. It's a decentralized system where you don't need humans accounting. I mean, there's no human error anymore. There's no trust factor anymore, and there's no transaction fees. It's all done automatically. This is game changing. This is new, an entirely new money system, an entirely new transactional system. It's unstoppable. So get on board. Try and make some money right now, man. Ethereum is under $300 to buy for one ether, which is their unit of currency, their token in ether. If you buy Ethereum, a lot of people are predicting Ethereum to overtake Bitcoin. Bitcoin came around in 2009, and there was this kid, and I can't even pronounce his name. He's got this like serious Russian name, and he's like 16 years old at the time. And is that math right? He's 15 years old at the time, I think. And he becomes obsessed with Bitcoin, right? He's been a math genius from Russia ever since he was 4 years old. He's just this fucking genius, right? And he becomes obsessed with Bitcoin, and he starts Bitcoin Magazine, and it becomes the premier central conversation around Bitcoin and crypto and this whole movement. And he's leading it as a teenager. And then by the time he's 19, he says, I can do this better. There's a better way to do this. And he creates Ethereum with some other people. And they've been working on this project now since 2011. And what he's done is build out this kind of platform where it's going to allow people to come in and build new technologies on his secure, decentralized platform. It's really fascinating stuff. I implore you to do some research and check it out because there's a lot of money to be made. This is not going to slow down or stop. This is happening, so you can either deny it, which is the dumbest. You can be like, "Oh, it's probably coming, but I don't want to take a risk," which I get, but I also think is silly and short-term thinking. Or you can go research it yourself, and I challenge you because if you actually research the blockchain, what it is, and what's happening with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and cryptocurrencies in general right now, you're going to be blown away. You're going to be sucked in. I could 100x my money over the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, that's stupid money. You know what I mean? If you put a few thousand dollars in, you're talking about a few hundred thousand dollars. And look, don't put anything in that you're not willing to lose. Anything can happen, whatever, whatever. This is not a financial, advisory, blah, blah, blah. But fucking do it. Do the research, at least. Do the research with all this shit. Ask questions, man. So I don't give a shit if people call me crazy because I'm going to stand by my guns because you know what? In the long term, one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong. And I'm playing on the side of long-term legacy. So, look, this is what you get from this podcast. You should know this by now. You're going to get a kid sitting in his underwear, in bed, in his parents' house, talking shit. So do whatever you want, but I'm just giving you the heads up. Earthquake forecasting is real, and so is the blockchain. So get on your fucking shit. Seriously, start preparing for a different world. Because if you think that the change that we've seen over the last decade is now just going to stop, we're in a lull. We're in just like a pause right now. There's going to be another massive period of growth shortly. What do you think's going to happen? What the fuck do you think's going to happen, dude? People don't realize how fast this shit's changing. Okay, I'm getting carried away. All right, I'm going to wrap this up, okay? Because I know I'm probably pissing some people off. I love you, and thanks for listening. If you're interested in any of this stuff, feel free to ask me or just go on YouTube and just type in blockchain and us. There's a nice little, like, it's like 30-minute kind of rundown on just these smart people talking about what the fuck's happening. It's called Blockchain and Us on YouTube. Anyways, I'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks for listening. Peace out.